Hi, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute, I guess. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And the, whoever, you know.
Pete's not in a very good mood right now.
No, I'm not in a very good mood because we just recorded minute 75. And when I went to look back at it, to replay it, to play it back, Audacity informed me. Audacity's the program that I record on. Informed me that huge chunks of it are missing. And I looked back, and sure enough, there's like a few minutes missing. So I kind of just had a little nervous breakdown.
Temper tantrum.
Temper tantrum is
more
accurate.
It was a tantrum, yes.
I'm very, very, very angry right now. But...
And he almost broke his TARDIS.
But we're going to push through. Yeah, I got pissed off and I flung my notes across the desk and I hit my little plastic TARDIS.
Because you thought twice about punching the computer, which I know that's
what you
wanted.
I was going to hit the computer with my hammer.
We can do this, though. Come on.
So now I have to go back to 75 tonight and see what's missing and see how important it is. And if I can't cut around it, like edit around it, we'll have to record little patches. And I could fill in the gaps with that. Much like the DNA structure of the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. How the DNA holes were filled with that of a frog's.
Which doesn't make any kind of sense because they're related to birds, not amphibians.
But I digress. Minute 76 starts with my computer mocking me. Or just Audacity. It could have been just the program, or it could be my laptop. It's a pretty old laptop. It ends with me putting my fist through the laptop. Sandra, what did you think about minute 76 where my computer or the Audacity program had the audacity to mess with me and ruin minute 75 of the Blade Runner minute? Tell me how you feel. I agree. It's the worst thing that could have ever happened to me in my life. It's like, you know, Pearl Harbor, 9/11. No, Pearl Harbor, The Phantom Menace, 9/11. And then this.
That's terrible. You can't equate this with September 11th and Pearl Harbor.
I just did. And The Phantom Menace.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The Phantom Menace destroyed more lives than 9/11 and Pearl Harbor combined, in my opinion. Like, emotionally.
Can I tell you my thoughts?
No. And now this has trumped all those events. The Audacity program and or my laptop.
The audacity of Audacity to mess with you?
Did this and left silent patches in my 75th minute.
You could never have had a job in the tech field, ever. To be a trail of computers leading to your office, a cubicle, or...
Whatever. Nevertheless, this is minute 76 of the Blade Runner minute, now that I got that off my chest.
I'm not allowed to put my thoughts about what just went down.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've never understood the, something's not working, so I'm going to break it more, so that I either have to clean up or pay for it.
Oh, well, you don't think of that when it happens. At the moment, it's just rage. It's just blind rage. You're not thinking of cleaning things up. That's why I'm a stupid idiot. That's what makes me a stupid idiot. The fact that I don't think.
Is that what makes you a stupid idiot?
And I get angry.
Or is that one of the ways that we could see that you're a stupid idiot?
Yeah. That's better. I like that better. You could tell he's a stupid idiot because he broke his computer without thinking about the consequences financially or physically, you know. I've punched things and broken.
Like the last time your computer was being a little difficult, so you picked it up and slammed it?
Yes.
And then broke it more.
No, I didn't pick it up. I was pounding the keyboard.
Hulk smash.
Like, more like Donkey Kong.
Okay. Okay.
But this is minute 76.
Okay.
And this is going to go way better than minute 75.
Okay.
Because this one's going to record completely.
Oh, you're going to throw it or yourself.
The show is over.
Yeah, he was like, the show's done. We're not recording anymore. We're done. That's it. We're done. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're done. We're almost done with the movie.
I canceled the Blade Runner minute. I came in. I was like, this is over.
We only got like 40 minutes left. What are you doing?
Minute 76 starts with Pris introducing JF and Roy, introducing them to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with Roy telling Pris about their recent losses.
Yes.
They've had some personal losses. You wanna
So Pris
do this? Yeah,
call. Do you want me to do the whole thing?
Not
You
all.
just want to sit and
I'll
stew?
chime. Yeah, I'll be your
You sit
backup
and
singer
stew.
today because I'm broken, man.
You
I'm
squeezed your
broken.
head so hard.
I'm so
It was
broken.
like that scene in The Matrix
Because I
where he was
realized
talking to Morpheus and he like shoved his finger in his skin and it like went in. It was crazy.
because our time is so limited. And I don't
But you
want to
spent
waste it on editing.
20 minutes complaining just now.
Well, because that's how you could tell he's a stupid idiot.
Do you want to make a little board that we could add that list to? The best part is last night he was talking about buying a new computer, like a new laptop, and I was like, I don't really think he should have a laptop. I think like a desktop or an all-in-one
No.
would be a better idea because
Tablet.
he wants a tablet.
I
And
want a
I was like,
tablet.
because those don't have enough processing power for what he has to do. So I think a real computer would be the better bet.
Why? We can
It's more
record in the
stable.
tablet, store in the cloud. We don't have to go through this garbage.
And then when the cloud fails,
Clouds won't fail. They're
or the
called
processor on
clouds.
the tablet is not strong, powerful enough for what you want to do.
The processor in my iPhone is strong enough for what I want to do. What are you talking about?
I still think that you should have a conventional desktop instead.
I ain't gonna be getting no desktop.
The all-in-ones.
I ain't gonna be getting no all-in-ones.
I think it's a good idea. Do you want to come see the one we have at work?
No.
You wouldn't get one as fancy as that. And they're
So Pris
touchscreen.
introduces JF to Roy. She says, "This is my savior, JF Sebastian." I want to stop there because she uses the word savior, and it's another biblical reference,
Yes.
much like Methuselah.
Yes. Amongst the other ones that we've had.
Did you pick up on that?
Yes. Savior, but I feel bad for JF. He looks really nervous. Roy says to him, "I like a man that stays put."
Much like Jesus on the cross.
Yeah. And he was like, "You live here all by yourself, do you?" Who words it that way? Like, who phrases it that way?
I'm laughing at Jesus staying put because he was nailed to the cross. Get it? That was a
Are
little.
you trying to offend people who believe in this?
No, that was the. You don't think
Oh,
that
I
was the whole
get
point? I like a man that stays put right after she calls him her savior. You don't think that was the point of that line? That was an obvious joke. From the movie, not
Oh,
me.
I get it.
Yeah. See, this is my savior, JF. I like a man that stays put.
Do the noise of
Dun-dun-dun,
the
ba-dum-bum-psh.
And he asks him if he lives there all by himself. Do you?
Yeah.
And he's like, yes. And they, Roy and Pris, give each other like these little side eye
Yeah,
smirks.
I got that one. Share a
And
devious look.
the only thing I think of is Gollum and Sam. When Samwise asks him, "What are you doing?"
Snowhole.
And the only thing I could think is, "Pris and Roy, what are you doing?" And in my head, I'm like, plotting.
Sneaking.
I don't know why that's the only thing I could see in my head, but.
And then they make out.
And then
Hot
he gives him
and
a.
heavy.
Then Roy gives Pris this big sloppy kiss
Smooches her.
that ends with him kissing her on the nose. And JF gets up real quick and offers them breakfast. I feel so bad for JF.
Heartbroken.
Like, why would they do that to him?
He is heartbroken.
She's clearly working him, right? And he has this hope, maybe this little grain of hope, this little seed of hope inside that
Yeah.
she likes him. And then in comes big, tall, handsome Roy, making out with his Kool-Aid.
Takes his girl right
And he's
away.
like, "That's not my Kool-Aid. I thought that would be my Kool-Aid. That's not my
And
Kool-Aid. I'm
she's been
gonna
flirting
die
with him.
young and alone here, looking like an old fart." It's terrible. Which character do you feel worse for in the movie? Rachel, Deck. Screw Brian and Graf. Rachel, Deckard, JF, Pris, Roy, Zora.
Rachel.
You feel worse for Rachel?
Yeah.
Why?
She had a rough day. She really had a rough day. She found out she wasn't human. That
You think that's the same day?
she never well, all right, 2 days, whatever.
Okay.
She had a rough weekend. She found out like all her memories are a sham. She never had a mother. She never had that. She never lived in that house. She never sat on those steps or that porch or whatever was in that picture. This guy that she this mentor of hers or employer or whatever that she trusted and thought she had a cushy gig. She was like this executive.
there's something to be said about all of them that they're having a rough day. Zora had to take these pleasures from a snake, right?
It's all fake. And then she meets this guy, and she connects with him in a way that she's never experienced before. And he basically sexually abuses her.
No, basically about it.
So yeah, I feel worse. Oh, and she worst. Brat worse. And she murdered somebody. Yeah. You think she knew Leon was a replicant when she shot him, or was she just protecting her
Kool-Aid? I think she was just protecting
her Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I think so.
Deckard's her Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Wonder why we didn't ask that question during that minute. That's how you know he's a stupid idiot.
Is that your catchphrase?
That's my new catchphrase.
Mine is, let's be clear, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
There's a wildcat head on JF's wall behind Roy.
Wildcat.
I think it's a wildcat. Rawr.
But yeah, the big sloppy kiss with the lead, and he kisses her on the nose, mm-hmm. and he leaves the tip all red. So you see redness, you know, her actual pink skin, and then white all around, so she looks more like the toy.
Yeah.
And that was the one I was referring to in the last minute. JF offers them breakfast. They do their little side-eye thing, right? Right before that, he says, I was just going to make some.
Yeah, that's when they smooched.
She says, well, to Roy.
Well, and Roy and is Leah, devastated. And Roy his whole face shifts, his whole attitude shifts. He looks completely devastated, and he says, he can't even say their names. He starts, but can only say Leon.
Roy looks really sad.
And he says, he was going to say Leon and Zora, probably, whatever happened. And then he just says, there's only two of us now.
But he looks so sad.
Very childlike.
I wrote the same word.
Sad, pouting.
He really looks like a child here. And I wonder how much of it is he working Pris the way he works everybody? Or is it because these are new emotions to him to feel this loss? And he doesn't know how to feel those things. Like the way a child goes from being angry to happy to laughing and back and forth so quickly. The moods can change. Not unlike the temper tantrum Peter threw. And then here he has these new moods because he doesn't know how to handle them. Like, kids will bite you when they're babies because they don't know how to handle the excitement. And they'll, like, chomp down because they just can't control their emotions. Not unlike Peter did.
I definitely don't think he's trying to manipulate her. I think he sees her in this rush of emotions coming out of him. That's why he kissed her. And that he could barely muster the name Leon when he's trying to tell her what happened.
He's never experienced loss before. All he can say is
there's only two of us now. They were a family. They were four. You know?
Well,
and now there's only two of us.
They were more than four, but... Okay.
Well, who?
Di not trying to break into Tyrell.
Ah, six and two got fried? Yeah, right. But for this core group for the movie...
That we've met.
Yeah. And because of this, the replicants are far more human than I've ever thought. They feel pain, loss, passion.
They feel it all.
A lot harder than anyone else in this movie. Like, we see Deckard get affected. And he drinks to dull it.
You know, I've always thought of them as...
But nobody takes it as hard as Roy.
I've always thought of them as children in that way, because kids are experiencing it for the first time. Like, there's nothing like the kids' excitement on Christmas morning or when they meet Mickey Mouse. There's nothing like that, you know. And as adults, we go to all these new places with kids, and we get to live it again through them, because we'll never have that same excitement of... Oh my God, Mickey Mouse just gave me a kiss. Or seeing someone glide across the ice the first time. Or seeing the circus acrobatics. Like, it's so amazing because it's so new to you. You've never seen anything like that before. And
yeah.
I think kids feel things more than we do. There's so many extremes because they've never had it. And I've always seen the replicants as the same way. Like, they're fresh, they're babies. They've never
had any of it. Yeah, we're seeing it right now. We're seeing the boiling point.
Which makes the thing with Deckard and Rachel so much more disturbing. She's never felt these things, even if he's, like, just trying to give a guiding hand. She's never felt these things before, and you kind of have to ease her into that situation. Well,
what if he's a replicant and he's never felt those things before either?
There's no evidence in the movie that makes me think that.
His eyes glow.
Once.
And then there's the ending.
Which I think was a mistake.
Where he takes off his mask and he's all robotics underneath.
That must be the final cut.
But he's like, welcome to Westworld, everybody. Yeehaw. Because of the emotional display mm-hmm. that I just saw between Pris and Roy, from the kissing to the sadness.
Yeah.
I say Deckard is absolutely committing cold-blooded murder. And I know I've brought up in the past that they're not all that innocent either, because they committed murder off-world to jump the ship to get
there. And I've always said...
I compare those actions now to any slave fighting for their freedom.
Isn't that what I said from the beginning? You said that, yeah. That in Mexico, if you break out of prison, you'll have to go back to prison for your crime, but you wouldn't be tried for trying to escape from prison.
Okay, but something a little more...
Everyone deserves their freedom. So when someone has a revolution against a tyrannical government, does that make them terrorists, or does that make them heroes? And that's really in the eye of whichever side you're on, right?
Well, to simplify it for myself, I thought of it as slaves in this country rebelling again. I mean, maybe there had to be instances.
Oh, all the time.
Instances where they would just kill the guy.
100%.
And just run away.
100%.
I'm not, screw this guy. I'm not.
Just the act of them running would get them hurt.
Right.
So.
But if they killed I hesitate to say the word, but their owners. I'm trying to be a little sensitive, but like if a slave killed their owner, I don't see a problem with that. You shouldn't be enslaved. You should have enslaved them.
But then homegrown terrorists would feel the same way.
I guess, like Timothy McVeigh and stuff like that, there
has to be this line of, do two wrongs correct the bigger wrong? Isn't there a better way to go about it? You know, you should fight against tyranny, but does fighting include taking another person's life, especially if you know what it's like to have your life taken away from you?
It must, when the alternative is waiting for the laws to change in your favor. You still have to stay there, chained up, being whipped every night, until the country decides to get their shit together and free you. So I say, absolutely, take charge and rip the guy's head out.
But again, I will always play devil's advocate. We do have issues of terrorism in the world, in all the countries across the globe. Are they wrong, then, for bombings to get their point across?
Well, of course they are. What do you mean?
But isn't that the same thing?
I don't know. I guess we'd have to take it case by case. I see what you're saying. I see where you're going. But yeah, we'd have to take it case by case. It's a much more complicated. It's easy for me, a white man in America, that makes an okay enough living, to sit here and pass judgment or qualify or rationalize. So, because what the hell do I know? I grew up in a decent enough neighborhood with food in my fat belly and I'm still fat, so I don't
with
know
a
any,
temper tantrum.
I don't know.
Child.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the woes of the world and people that are in serious pain, and starving or whatever, fighting for freedom. I don't know anything about that. I've just read about it and heard about it. So when I see somebody in a movie that's got a freaking collar around it, when Princess Leia choked Jabba the Hutt, he deserved to be choked to death. When she strangled him to death with his own slave chain. Yes, she was right to do that. What was she supposed to do? Wait for Luke to come back with a Jedi Council approved court order?
Couldn't that apply to all prisoners?
Like I said, case by case. Case by case.
Yeah, that's rough for me.
And I'm agreeing with you and saying, sure, let's look at them case by case.
No, I mean, even the case by case is rough for me.
I don't know. No, you can't blanket that. You can't just say all prisoners need to be freed. You can't say all slaves are prisoners, and you can't say all prisoners deserve to be free. Obviously. All thumbs are fingers, but not all fingers are thumbs.
Fascinating.
Wildcat. And then Pris delivers my new favorite line in the whole movie.
No, our favorite line is, gosh. You got some nice toys here.
Nope, it's not as good as, we're stupid and we'll die.
Then we're stupid. And we'll die.
She doesn't say then. She says, then we're stupid and we'll die. I didn't hear then.
I purposely put on the closed captioning when I was doing it.
Piss on your closed captioning. I don't think she says then.
I wonder why she says that.
We're stupid and
we'll die. Like, they need the collective intellect to be smart, because they can't be smart alone.
They needed Zora. They needed Leon. He was their genius, their resident genius. Leon was the brains of the operation. How old am I?
With his what cheesy, day is it? Yeah, I was going to say with his cheesy 80s one-liners.
My birthday is something, 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 and I know what year it is now. So how old am I? You already know how old you are. Why are you wasting my time?
Prepare to die. What's he say?
Get ready. Time to die. Wake up. Time to die. That's one of the best lines of the film, in my opinion.
We now have a long list.
Not as good as Home Again, Home Again.
But yeah, it's interesting that she thinks they need a collective to be smart.
Yeah, who's she referring to? Because the brains of the operation is Roy, so they're not stupid. Maybe they're weaker. Maybe it'd make more sense to me if she said it would have made more sense to me if she would have said, "We're weak and we'll die. We're too few, and we'll die."
That makes more sense, but we're stupid and we'll die.
Yeah, I don't know why she says we're stupid and we'll die. Like, I always
thought Zora and Roy were both very smart.
Is she just acknowledging their age? Like, we're only a couple years old, three-something years old. We're young, we're inexperienced. We've never been down here before. Mm-hmm. We came from off-world. We don't know enough to evade these Blade Runners. It could be anybody. I'm gonna assume that's what she meant.
Okay.
We don't know what the hell we're doing.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't really have anything else to say about this minute.
I'm completely devastated.
You're emotionally drained.
I'm emotionally distraught right now by the audacity
of
incident. That's what we're going to call it from now on. The audacity. That's what I'm going to call the episode. The audacity incident.
That should be last episode, right?
Yeah, it's 75. So, is going to be called the audacity incident.
Okay.
Hurt me. It broke. It hurt me. It cut me to my core. Broke my heart.
You throw the most wicked tantrums, and you wonder where our kids get it from.
I don't know why that seems funny to me, because it's not. But
it's not.
Yeah, I'm just gonna laugh until everything gets better. There you go.
Why can't they get my calm, cool, cold collected?
Are all three of the girls emotional like me?
Oh my God, they're so emotional.
They throw the little rampage tantrums
all the time. They cry all the time, and they'll yell for good. No reason.
Good. Rampagers won't make any money in life, but they'll win the revolution.
No, they won't.
Yes,
the Rampagers. No, they won't, the because they...
Hold on, may I finish?
Sure.
Okay. The Rampagers will rise up first.
Yes, but they'll be killed first because they make stupid decisions.
And then you'll know what not to do, and you'll be okay. So you need us, Rampagers. We're there for you. We are your shields.
Cannon fodder.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Pleasure.